Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call the Legacy Commerce or Conference Committee to order. Welcome, everyone. Very exciting day and opportunity here. I'd like Ms. Hirsch, if you'd be willing, if you'd be willing to take the role, and we could start there, please.
Chair Lilly.
Lilly present.
Lilly present. Representative Jordan.
Present.
Jordan present. Representative Green.
Present.
Green present. Representative Hewitt.
Present.
Hewitt present. Representative Zhang.
Present.
Zhang present. Chair Rood.
Rood present.
Rood present. Senator Weber. Senator Herr.
Present.
Herr present. Senator Lang.
Present.
Lang present. And Senator Spengen. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Hirsch, and welcome, everyone. It's an exciting day. I know the Senate has layers, and other members have layers of other commitments, and so might have to be coming and going, and so we'll check them in as they're able and arrive. I guess I'd like to start with just to kind of some brief introductions, and maybe if that's all right with you, Senator Rood, the chair in the Senate, and have you kick things off, and we'll kind of bounce back and forth maybe from Senate to House, if that's okay. So sure. Senator Rood.
Thank you, Chair Lilly. Senator Kerry Rood, I represent Senate District 10, which is all of Aiken and Crow Wing County, the Brainerd Lakes area. I am the chair of the Senate Legacy Finance Committee.
Thank you. Vice Chair Jordan.
Thanks, Chair Lilly. My name is Sydney Jordan. I represent 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and half of Southeast Como. It's good to be here with everyone.
Thank you. Senator Rood, I'm not sure who your vice chair is. Is it Senator Lang?
Senator Weber.
Okay, Senator Weber. We'll get to him in a bit. Why don't we just go to Senator Lang since
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Good to be with you. Glad to be on the conference committee. I think I don't remember if I did it last year or the year before. I can't even remember. These years are all starting to blur together. I represent four counties in southwestern Minnesota. I'm in my second term in the Senate. I sit on the Sard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council, and I'm very proud of the work they do. Miss you on the council, Representative Lilly. It's been again, a great year. I think what we spend about $130 million almost again. So it's all into the Outdoor Heritage Fund. It's a great group to be part of, and I'm looking forward to the conference. So thank you.
Thank you for your work on that, Senator Lang. And it was a pleasure to work with you on that. And it looks like a good package that you have this year as well. Representative Green, the GOP lead on our committee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair Lilly and everyone. Representative Steve Green, I serve District 2B, which is all our parts of six counties in northwest Minnesota. I've been on the Legacy Committee for my entire time in the legislature. Always enjoy the committee and looking forward to a good conference committee.
Thank you, Representative Green. Senator Herr, Fung Herr?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Chair Lilly, and also Chair Rood for and all of us being here, and nice to meet the House member, all the House member as well. I represent District 67, the last district, and actually, even though the number is at the end, but it's spiral, you know, it should be spiral. It's spiral in from the outside to here, and it's the center of Minnesota. It's east, I think, Paul, as a matter of fact, pretty much west of east of I-35. Going all the way to Maplewood, where 3M is. It used to be the old 3M site, and now border to the new 3M site. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Chair Lilly,
I proudly serve the southeast portion of the capital city, which includes Pig's Eye Lake, portions of Mississippi River, Battle Creek, Mounds Park, Highwood Hills, Eastview, Beavers Lake. And so looking forward to working with all of you to pass the legacy bill.
Thank you, sir. And welcome, Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair Lilly. And I represent Rosemount and Apple Valley and a little town called Coates and a few islands in the middle of the Mississippi I've never been out to yet. I'm excited to serve on the conference committee. This will be my first one in my second term here. And so I had one earlier, small one that Julie Rosen and I did on EMS, but this will be my first, but I'd consider my real one because that one took us 3 minutes. But I also noticed that I'm sitting here with a lot of fellow realtors here, so it'll be fun to work with many of you. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt, and we'll introduce the other two senators when they get here, Representative Senjin and Senator Senjin, and there he comes, and then Senator Weber. Senator Senjin, welcome. We're just kind of doing brief introductions. Welcome. Nice to see you, sir.
Good to see you. Dave Senjin, State Senator from Rochester, Minnesota, honored to be on this conference committee.
Thank you, sir. It's nice to see you and have a fellow Luther grad. You'll have to hold your ring up once in a while. So I'm Leon Lilly. I'm the chair on the House side, and it's I think Senator Root and I have one of the best jobs in the Capitol. We're lucky enough to chair these the legacy committee and the good work that we're the envy of other states all over the country. I represent three East Metro cities, North St. Paul, Maplewood, and Oakdale, but just happy to be on here and had good luck working with and good experience working with Senator Rood in the past. And I'm sure we can, you know, we're going to have great results again this year for the state of Minnesota. So it's exciting. So Senator Rood and I visited, and we're hoping to go through the bill. And like other years, when we go through the bill, it'll just kind of bounce back and forth. We kind of pass it to our team, and they kind of dole out who's gonna kind of lead. And so I'm not sure who's. I see a bunch of friendly faces, and so I'm not sure who's kicking this off. Is it Mr. Hagemeyer? Kind of seems like he's active a little more and jumping. So, Mr. Hagemeyer, if you'd be willing to go through the bill. And again, thank you for our great teams on both sides in the Senate and the House that just do a wonderful job on these and dig deep and look at the projects and then kind of make sure that they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's and ultimately make our state look good. But Mr. Hagemeyer, if you'd like a kickoff.
Sure, Mr. Chair, I'll start. If you don't mind, I'm going to share the screen for the tracking sheet, and then Ms. Roberts and Mr. Mueller will help me with through the tracking sheet, and then after we're done with that, Ms. Taylor, Ms. Mullen, and Mr. Stanley will take you through some of the language differences in the bill.
Okay, I just want to check. Senator Root, are you okay holding off questions to the end, or do you want to stop for questions as we go? What would you prefer?
Whatever your preference, Representative Lilly.
I think we'll hold off, but if someone has something that's really burning, you know, that they just need immediate, you know, but try to hold off if you can. So that, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, you'll see the spreadsheet in front of you, and I believe there's a new one sent out yesterday. This is the new version, but all the row numbers should still line up if anyone has the old version. So this one is in the bottom right corner, dated 5/4/2021 at 2:51 p.m. But if you have the version that's dated 4/27, like I said, all the rows should line up. There's just a couple of change item column differences in the arts fund that we just corrected, but it doesn't affect the totals at all. Just sorry, let me move the out of the way here. Looking at the tracking sheet, there's four different funds. I'm going to go through Article 1. There's not a lot of changes there between the House and Senate. Then we'll get to the Clean Water Fund, Article 2, and then I'll probably go through the House provisions there, the House differences, and then I'll switch over to Mr. Mueller, who can go through the Senate provisions there. Okay. Looking at this for Article 1, you'll see the first set of columns here. These are the Outdoor Heritage Council recommendations. The next set of columns over here would be the House, what passed the House, House File 1079, the 3E version. There's a change column from the recommendations, and then the last set of columns is the Senate file, which is now HF 1079-1UE, and then you'll see the change columns from the recommendations and then from the House position. In the Outdoor Heritage Fund, there is really only one significant change. Both the House and Senate carried the recommendations for the vast majority. If you go to line 52, you'll see the Conservation Partners Legacy Grant Program. There's a supplemental recommendation made of $590,000. Both the House and Senate picked that provision up. And then the House on line 54 added $3 million carve-out of the CPL grant program and included $3 million of the additional money for this. And it's for first-time applicants to apply through that program. So in total, the House appropriated $130,837,000 in the first year, and then some of the administrative costs in the second year of $557,000. And the Senate in total appropriated $127,837,000, and then the $557,000 in the second year. The House left the 10.3% reserve on the bottom line for the first year, and the Senate has a 12.8% reserve. You'll see the other funds, I think we all went to 5% for each of the years, which is the statutory requirement. That was really the only change from the Outdoor Heritage Council recommendations, so I wasn't planning on going in more detail than that and going to the Clean Water Fund, if that's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer. Yes, please proceed.
Okay. Starting at the bottom of page 2, you'll see the Article 2 Clean Water Fund. Again, this would be the Clean Water Council and then the Governor's Revised Recs as the first set of columns. The next set is the House file and the change from the Governor's Recs, and then the Senate file, change from the Recs, and then change from House. So I will talk through the House provision, that second set of columns there. Under the Department of Agriculture, you'll see on line 87, the House and Senate are $96,000 different to the technical assistance program. And then the only other change in Department of Agriculture was on line 91, the Forever Green Agricultural Initiative. The House increased that appropriation by $500,000 for the biennium. So the House and Senate are $500,000 difference there. In total, the House appropriated $20,644,000 to the Department of Agriculture, and the Senate appropriated $20,240,000. Going down to the line 94, you'll see the Pollution Control Agency. There's a couple of changes towards the bottom of this one between the House and Senate. The first one being on line 104, there's a Clean Water Council budget. The House added some requirements in the bill and then added some money to the budget. So it's $150,000 over the Clean Water Council recommendations. And I believe the Senate is carrying a smaller amount that was the original recommendations, not the revised recommendations. But I'll let Mr. Mueller go through that. Line 106, 107, and 108 would be River Watch programs. You'll see there's a $400,000 appropriation on line 106 for the River Watch programs. And then there's two carve-outs of that. It goes to two different organizations. On line 107 would be the Red River Watershed Management Board. And this organization has received funds for this purpose for the last several years out of Clean Water Fund. And then on line 108, you'll see the Friends of the Minnesota Valley. And this would be a new, very similar program that would receive $100,000 in the House proposal. In total, the House is appropriating $44,747,000. To the Pollution Control Agency, and the Senate's appropriating $41,204,000 to the Pollution Control Agency. On line 101. Yep.
I think you did. You miss the 109. That's kind of a big line there.
I did. Sorry, Mr. Chair. Thank you for pointing that out. Line 109. The House added a provision for micro and nanoplastics testing protocols. You can see the rider in the bill, and appropriated $2.103 million for this purpose. On line 111, you'll see the start of the Department of Natural Resources. There are two changes that the House made from the recommendations. And then there's a couple spots where we have a difference as well. With Mr. Mueller can go through the Senate changes, I guess. On line 120, you'll see the House added a provision and $350,000 for the creation of a groundwater management area in Dakota County. And then the governor had made a recommendation in the revised recs for $1.4 million for a modernization of Minnesota's culvert system. And the House and Senate are not carrying that provision in this bill. In total, the House is appropriating $18,475,000 from the to the Department of Natural Resources, and the Senate is carrying $16,885,000 to DNR. On line 123, you'll see the Board of Water and Soil Resources. There's a difference in money there. I'll let Mr. Mueller talk about. Going down to line 133, you'll see the Conservation Drainage Management Assistance was a governor's recommendation. The House did not include this provision. On line 134, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, the House increased this appropriation by $792,000 to bring it to $2 million from the governor's and Clean Water Council's recommendations. And then I'll let Mr. Mueller explain what the Senate did there shortly. They added significantly more money to this appropriation. On line 137, you'll see just a slight increase to the Watershed Partners Legacy Grant Program, just $2,000 to get to our 5% reserve. On line 138, the wetland restoration easements, the House is funding this at $4.84 million. The governor had this at $10 million. On line 139, the enhancing landowner adoption of cover crops, the House is carrying the same level as the Clean Water Council recommendations. On line 140 are the SWCD administration grants. The governor's revised recommendations included $9 million per year for this purpose. The House has $12 million in the first year and has a change to the rider language. In the past, there's been a base amount for each organization. Now there's a different way it's distributed. And then there's zero in the second year. But starting on line 141, 142, and 143, you'll see three new grant programs that the Soil and Water Conservation Districts can use. They're for soil health practices. The first one is for groundwater protection. The second one is for wind erosion to protect surface water. And the third one is sustainable forestry and soil health practices to protect surface and groundwater. And each of those has $2.415 million in the second year in the House bill. On line 144, you'll see a appropriation in the first year only of $263,000, and this is for a study on the potential mergers of SWCDs and watershed districts in the state. In total, the House appropriates $131,466,000 to the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Starting on line 146, you'll see the Department of Health. The only change here would be on line 152. The House added $1.5 million for creation of health risk limits for the three chemicals listed there that I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Fair enough.
In total to the Department of Health, the House is appropriating $13.410 million. On line 154, the Metropolitan Council, the House added two provisions here. Starting on line 157 is the inflow and infiltration grants. And this would be in the second year, $2.5 million. And then on line 158, lead service line replacement grants. Again, this was $2.5 million in the second year. In total, the House is appropriating $8,088,000 to the Metropolitan Council. On line 160 is the University of Minnesota. On line 162, the House is appropriating $150,000 less for the Stormwater BMP Performance Evaluation and Technology Transfer Program. And then on line 164, the House added a new provision for chronic wasting disease in water research at the U of M for $1.378 million. In total, the House is appropriating $3.818 million to the University of Minnesota. And then the Legislative Coordinating Commission, there's a little bit for the LCC website that the House, Senate, and Governor all carried. And then under on line 169 is the Public Facilities Authority, and there were no changes across between the House and the Clean Water Council recommendations there. In total, the House is appropriating $256,792,000, which brings it to exactly a 5% reserve in both the first and the second year. And then, if it's all right, I'll go back up to the top and let Mr. Mueller go through any of the Senate changes that he would like to.
Sure. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer and Mr. Mueller, nice to see you, and go ahead and proceed how you'd like, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nice to see you, too. My name is Dan Mueller. I'm the fiscal analyst for the Legacy Committee here, and Mr. Hagemeyer will jump back up to the top of the Senate items here for the clean water. And I'm only going to point out any other changes here that Mr. Hagemeyer didn't talk about. Some of them are just changes in funding and a few other new items Senate has. So you can go to the next page. So starting on in the Department of Ag, the Senate funds the technical assistance, a total of $96,000 more than the House for the biennium. Then the only other change is the Forever Green. The Senate is at $2,000 per year, the same as what the Clean Water Council recommended. Next, under Pollution Control Agency, the Senate funds the River Watch program as a carve-out from the Pollution Control Agency's appropriation for monitoring and assessing the lake water. So where the House has it as a separate appropriation, the Senate does it as a carve-out of an existing Pollution Control Agency appropriation, but both have it for $150,000 per year. Again, down to line 104, the Clean Water Council budget, the Senate appropriates that at $110,000 per year, which is the same level of funding that they were receiving in the current biennium. Next, we go down to Department of Natural Resources. There's just a couple of funding differences there. The Senate funds the on line 144, the fish contamination assessment on at $135,000 per year. That's the same as the current level of funding. So it's below what the council recommended, but the same as the current level of funding. And also for the non-point source restoration, the Senate funds that at $1 million per year, which is below the council recommendation, but is at the current same level as current funding. Under Board of Water and Soil Resources, on line 124, the big grant program that goes out to soil and water conservation districts, the Senate put an extra $3.422 million into that on line 124, above what the council recommended and above what the House has. On the next page, the Senate funded the measures, results, and accountability on line 127 at $1 million per year. That's below the council recommendation, but about same level as what is funded in 2021. On the line 133, the conservation drainage management, this is where the House did not fund the program at all. The council recommended $850 per year, and the Senate actually went above the council recommendation and is at $977 per year. On the next line for Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, this is where the Senate adds $14.307 million to the appropriation. This is the same amount that was requested by the governor in the bonding bill to basically take off the CREP program. So the Senate is funding this here under the Clean Water Bill. The governor had this as a bonding request, and I believe the House also has this as a bonding request. But the Senate is funding it here with the Clean Water Fund. So that's a major difference there. The line 140, the Soil and Water Conservation money for the Soil and Water Conservation District, the Senate continues to fund that at $12 million per year, and under the same language that we funded in previous bienniums. So that's a total of $24 million for the biennium. So those are the differences in the Senate side for under Bowser. Under Department of Health, the Senate was the same as the House, other than the one item on line 152 that the House funded. Mm-hmm. Next, we'll go down to Met Council. The only difference there in items that were funded on both sides were on line 156, the water demand and reduction grant programs. Senate funds that at $375,000 per year, and that's the same as the same level that was funded in 20 and 21, the current biennium. Next, we go down to University of Minnesota. Mr. Hagemeyer noted on line 162 that the House reduced the amount for the stormwater BMPs by $75,000 per year, and the Senate funds that at $750,000 per year, the amount recommended by the council. And I will note on line 163, this is the one new item that the Senate has funded this year, and that's the quantifying the multiple benefits of clean water investments. This was a new proposal by the Clean Water Council, and the Senate did pick up that new item for $95,000 per year. And then the rest is all the same, and the House and the Senate spends the same amount of money from the Clean Water Fund and in the same amount in the same year. So we match up with totals, and we both leave the 5% fund balance. So that's it for the Clean Water Fund on the Senate side. And if there's no other questions, I'll jump and do the Parks and Trails Fund and explain the differences on both sides. Both bills are pretty similar. The only difference, we both spend the same total amount of money, $110,681,000 for the biennium, and we both spend the same amount each fiscal year. The only differences are on lines, basically the differences are on line, how much goes to the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. That's on line 195. The House has $450,000 per year for the Parks and Trails Commission. The Senate's at $456,000. And that money comes as a carve-out of their overall appropriation. And then the other amount is the coordinating among partners. The governor and the House have it at, on line 196, $548,000 the first year, $559,000 the second year, while the Senate is at $512,000 per year, and that's the same level that was funded in fiscal year 21. And since the Senate funded that at a little bit lower than the House and the governor, that created a little bit more money that could go up and split between the 40-40-20 between state parks, metro parks, and regional parks. So you'll see that in the column on the far right. So there's an extra $33,000 on the Senate side that goes to state parks, an extra $17,000 that goes to regional parks, and then an extra on line 199, again, another $33,000 that goes to metro parks. So that's the only difference in that on the between the House and the Senate on the Parks and Trails Fund. As far as the overall appropriation, there's some language differences, but we'll go through that later in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller.
Next, we have the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, Article 4, and I believe I'll let Ms. Helen Roberts start off the House side on that, and then I will jump in where the Senate has some differences.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller, and very thorough as always. Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff. I'm going to start off with the first few agencies under the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. The first is the State Arts Board, and both the House and the Senate have the same total amount of funding.
Helen, yes. Your sound, or Ms. Roberts, your sound is just kind of comes in and out just a little bit. So I don't know if that's just my computer or.
Okay, is this any better?
Here, Lily, she sounds fine to me.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Thank you, nope. Ms. Roberts.
I will start over with the State Arts Board. The House and the Senate both have the same funding of $70,382,000, and this is the only place where the governor makes a recommendation in this fund, and it's for the 47% of the total appropriations after the reserve. And there are some very slight differences you'll see in the far right column. just between the allocation between the three programs, but the total is the same. Moving down to the Historical Society, the differences here, the Senate has higher funding in the statewide historic and cultural grants, the statewide history programs, and the history partnerships program. And again, you can see that in the difference in the far right column. The House has a carve out of $213,000 online, $232,000 for the legacy book for elementary school students. And then the House and Senate are the same on the statewide survey of historical and archaeological sites and the digital library. And then the House has two additional grant programs, $100,000 for the Litchfield Opera House, and then $50,000 for the Armor and Company gatehouses in St. Paul. So the House funding for the Historical Society is a total of $33,063,000, and the Senate funding is $34.135 million. So that's a difference of just over $1 million. And moving down to the Department of Education, both the House and Senate have funded the grants to the regional public libraries at $5 million. And then the House has two additional funding items. First is $300,000 for the water safety grant program, and then $250,000 for the Minnesota Center for the Book. So the House funding is at $5.55 million, and the Senate total funding is at $5 million. Now I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Mueller.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Mr. Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll start off with the Department of Administration. Again, a number of the line items that we've funded in the past and are on both sides, just there's funding differences. The first one is line 246, Minnesota Public Radio. The Senate's at $3.9 million. The House is at $3.5 million, so a difference of $400,000. And the same for AMPRS. Public Radio, the Senate's at 3.9, the House is at 3.5, a difference of 400,000. And then, Mr. Chairman, line 249, Minnesota Public Television, there's a difference of $420,000. The Senate is above the House on that. The next difference is on Science Museum of Minnesota, line 252. The Senate is at $1.4 million. The House is at $1.3 million, a difference of $100,000. The House has a provision on line 253 for $150,000 for Appetite for Change. That is not in the Senate side. The next one, Lake Superior Zoo, line 254. The House is $150,000 above the Senate on that one. House is at $300,000. And then Midwest Outdoors Unlimited, we're both the same, $50,000 per year. So on to the next page, this is where the Senate has some new items that are not on the House side, so I'll point these out. The first one is line 256, the Veterans Memorial Matching Grants. This is something that has been funded in some previous cycles. So the Senate continued this one to at $100,000 per year for local veteran memorial grants. On line 257, the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp of $128,000 the first year. And then a new one on line 258 from Senator Herr. This is the TAP, which is a new program. And this is for $15,000 per year. And the last one the Senate funded is a WPA restoration for Kasson, and it's at $30,000 per year. So the total funding for the Department of Administration is $22.508 million for the Senate and $21.1 million for the House. Next agency is a one appropriation on both sides for the Minnesota Zoo. House is at $3.5 million. The Senate's at $4 million, so a difference of $500,000. And then I'll start on the Humanities Center, at least up through the Senate provisions, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Roberts to go through the House provisions on this, but the Humanities Center programs on line 265, both Senate and the House are at 2.5 million. The Children's Museum grants, the difference here is they're both funding the Minnesota's Children's Museum the same at $375,000 per year, but the competitive grants that are available statewide to other ones, the Senate is at $675,000 per year and the House is at $550,000 per year. And then the last item on the Senate side I'll talk about is the both sides have community identity and heritage grants. The Senate funds that at $2 million per year and it's more of a open grant program, and the House is at $3.625 million per year, and I'll let Ms. Roberts talk about how that's allocated.
So,
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair and members, as Mr. Mueller noted, the House has higher funding for the community identity and heritage grants, and then in addition, it first breaks that money down into six specific pots of money, and you can see those on the spreadsheet. The first is the Asian Pacific Island Community Grants, the Somali and African Immigrant Community Grants, Indigenous Arts and Cultural Activity Grants, African American Community Grants, Latinx Community Grants, and then the BIPOC and Underrepresented Community Grants. And then underneath those six pots of money, the House bill also has specific amounts that are designated for specific organizations. And I won't walk through each of these unless you want me to, but you can see them outlined on the spreadsheet, and they're also in the language of the bill. And then finally, the last item is the civic education grants, and that there's a difference here between the House and the Senate of $50,000. The Senate provides $200,000, and the House bill has $150,000. And the totals for the Humanities Commission, the House has $11.75 million. The Senate has $8.8 million. So that's a difference of $2.95 million. I'll continue on with the Indian Affairs Council. You can see the difference, the total difference between the House and Senate is $120,000. The House is at $4 million and the Senate is at $4.12 million. And then the differences are shown, $35,000 for the grants to the tribal nations for preserving language, $30,000 difference on the Indian language immersion educational institutions, $35,000 difference on educational and immersion efforts, and then a $20,000 on the protection of Indian graves. And I can continue with the Department of Agriculture. The difference here, these are the county fair grants. They're both both the House and the Senate provide funding for this. The House is at $400,000 and the Senate is at $800,000. And then finally, there's the small appropriation to the Legislative Coordinating Commission, both at $4,000. And you'll see the Senate and the House are both at the same amount of funding in each year, for a total of $149.74 million, and then both, of course, then have the 5% reserve.
So, Mr. Chair, if there's no questions on the spreadsheet, I think I can, Mr. Mueller, you had more to add to those. Oh, okay. If there's no questions on the spreadsheet, I'll maybe stop sharing that and then switch over to Ms. Taylor, Ms. Mullen, and Mr. Stanley to go through any language changes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer and Mr. Mueller and Ms. Roberts. Thank you for your work. And then please stick around if you can if we have questions at the end. And I know you're always, all of you are hardworking and available for questions beyond today as well. So, Ms. Taylor, are you, or Ms. Mullen, are you, I don't know who was next, sorry.
Mr. Taylor, or Mr. Chair, I can start. I'm Janelle Taylor, I'm with House Research, and I cover the the Outdoor Heritage Fund, Clean Water Fund, and Parks and Trails Fund. And then I'll turn it over to Ms. Mullen to do the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'm going to walk through the side-by-side document. The House language is on the left side and the Senate language is on the right side. And what I'm going to do is just point out some of the major policy or language of interest for the members, not every technical or other change.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
The first one I want to point out would be on R20. This would be the CPL program. If you look on lines 22.21 through 22.23, this is the carve out of the $3 million for the first time applicants for the program. And then you'll see some additional language on 22.30 and 22.31 that allows some of the administration funds to be used for outreach and support of those first time applicants. The next change I want to point out would be on R25. On the bottom of that page, you'll see subdivision 10. It's a new provision. It would require recipients of Outdoor Heritage Funds to contact the DNR in writing to determine whether there are opportunities to coordinate with recipients of the No Child Left Inside program or if there are other similar opportunities to provide training and education to diverse youth. Then paragraph B of that rider would require a similar contact to the Conservation Corps to see if they wanted to work with them for their restoration and enhancement services. You turn over to the next page. And then finally in that rider, there's a paragraph C that would require a copy of those written contacts to be submitted to the council. The next item I wanted to point out would be on R29. On the bottom of that page, there's a new section 4 on the House side. And if you turn the page, the new language is in paragraph D. This would require recipients of the Outdoor Heritage Fund in their projects or programs to include an assessment of whether the funding celebrates cultural diversity or reaches diverse communities. And that is the only items in the Outdoor Heritage Fund. I can move on to the Clean Water Fund if everyone's ready for that.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Go ahead.
Okay. First one I'd want to point out would be on R40. On the House side, there's a new rider, increasing diversity in environmental careers. This would state that agencies should work to provide opportunities that encourage a diversity of students to pursue careers in environment and natural resources. Then the other item I wanted to point out is also on the page in the paragraph A rider on the House side, starting on lines 44.28 and 44.29. The House has added microplastics and nanoplastics to a number of riders. I'm not going to point them all out, but I just wanted to point out one of them. And this is added to a number of riders for water quality monitoring or assessment and testing. The next item I would want to point out would be on R52. On the bottom of that page, this is the SWCD grants that we spoke about earlier during the spreadsheet. You'll see on the Senate side, they're carrying the traditional language that's been used, providing base funding of $100,000 per year for each SWCD. And the House has some new language that required the grants to be based on the number of wells and water bodies contaminated with nitrates and pesticides, acreage contained within a drinking water supply management area, as well as the traditional items that the formula used to be funded by. And then you'll see on R53, the second year are the competitive grants designed to soil health practices. The next one would be on R55. I just wanted to point out on line 60.32 and 60.33, the House has increased the amount of money that would be used for contracting with the Conservation Corps up to $750,000 from the $500,000 that the Senate is carrying and which was originally proposed in the Clean Water Council budget. The next one would be on R56. There's two riders here. D, and E. You'll see the House has the microplastics language again in the D, and then there's some differences that the Senate made that I'll let Senate staff go over. If Mr. Mueller would take that.
Mr. Mueller. On the Senate side, on page R56, this is the rider on lines 57.2 on the Senate side. It mentions that this is for establishing a voluntary program to test private wells for just contaminants, where the House has studying the occurrence and magnitude of contaminants, and then it mentions the microplastics, where the Senate does not. And then on the next appropriation, starting on line 57.6, the appropriation is the same, but the Senate does not mention the recommendations from the Future of Drinking Waters report. And it also just mentions that this is a voluntary, the reference is a voluntary statewide plan. So that's the only changes between the House and the Senate for that item.
Mr. Mueller. Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, I was going to, I think Ms. Taylor has the next item.
Looks like there's some on 62 there, yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to point out on R60, unless you want me to go through some additional changes. The next one I thought we could highlight would be section 12 on the House side. This is another section requiring, this would be the Clean Water Fund projects now, to have a cultural diversity assessment similar to the one for the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And then on R61, and then going through R85, there are a number of sections that are providing some extensions of previous Clean Water Fund appropriations. These were included in the governor's supplemental budget recommendations, and the House has picked them up here. So if we go to, I'm not going to go through each individually unless people want to, but so we can go to R85 for the next section. There's section 24 on the House side. This is requiring the Commissioner of Health to develop those health risk limits that you saw in the spreadsheet. This would be amending the one for PFOS and then adopting two new ones for two different neonics. And then section 25 would require the Clean Water Council to develop some reports. The first would be an assessment of the implementation of LIDAR that's been funded with previous Clean Water Fund appropriations. The second one would be one that's assessing the potential impacts of a recent state Supreme Court case. And then if you turn to the next page on the top of that, you'll see they'd also be required to do an evaluation of state agency personnel funded with Clean Water Fund money. And then the final House section in the Clean Water Fund would be section 26. This would require the Clean Water Council to develop an RFP to study the impacts of a rubber tire additive and those impacts on the state's fish and water. And then there's a Senate-only section 12. Mr. Mueller wants to chime in.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Mr. Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last item on the Senate side is section 12. It's online on page R86, starting on line 59.30. This is just an extension of a appropriation that originally was in the 2015 legacy bill. And this would extend it to July 2022. This was originally supposed to expire June 30th, 2020, but last year, Chapter 104 extended that by 1 year. So this appropriation would be available to June 30th, 2021, but this would actually go 1 year beyond that. And checking with MMB, it looks like there's about $28,000 left in this appropriation that is being asked to be extended. So that's the last item for the Senate on clean water.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller.
And then, Mr. Chair, if there are no questions, we can move on to Parks and Trails Fund. And I think there's only a few House items that I'd like to point out here.
Okay.
The first one would be on the bottom of R87. There's a new subdivision for energy and water conservation. this would state that grant recipients should prioritize water and energy conservation technology and you, when they're constructing or building projects funded with an appropriation made in the article. The next would be on R90. There's a paragraph H starting on 100.31 on that page. It states that the DNR should provide opportunities that encourage diverse students to pursue careers in environment and natural resources. And then on R91, there's a House Section 6. This would expand the Loose Line State Trail to include a connection to the Greenleaf Lake State Rec area. Then moving on to R92 is another House-only section. This is another section requiring cultural diversity assessments. This would be specific to the Parks and Trails Fund. And then Section 8 on R93 is another House-only section. This is extending a prior Parks and Trails Fund appropriation for the Proctor Hermantown Munger Trail Spur project. And then Section 9 is another extension. This one is for the coordination of the partners, the DNR, Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Commission, and the Met Council for their work, as well as some web-based information. And then that concludes the Parks and Trails Fund, if Ms. Mullen wants to take over on Article 4.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Ms. Mullen, welcome. Go ahead when you're ready, please.
Chair and members, Mary Mullen from House Research. I'm just going to walk through a couple small policy differences between the House and Senate sides. I'm going to start on R106. Here, we're just noting a difference between the House and the Senate. They both have funding for the Community Identity and Heritage Grant Program, but the House has divided the funding language into distinct grants for different ethnic and cultural groups. And then the other policy differences we have are some House-only provisions. The first one starts on R111. This adds your requirements for the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund recipients to provide an assessment of whether the funding they receive celebrates cultural diversity or reaches diverse audiences in Minnesota. On R112, there's another House-only provision, and it adds Historical Preservation Corps to a list of government entities and nonprofits covered under the Joint Exercise of Powers statute, and provides municipal liability limits and insurance provisions for civil liability consistent with that section. And the final policy piece, again, House only, is on R113. And it provides that the Phelan Park China Garden appropriation from the previous biennium is available until June 30th, 2023. And I think those are the only differences, but I will, Mr. Stanley from the Senate can chime in if he has any others he wanted to know.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. Mr. Stanley, I don't know where you are, but it looks pretty neat.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm on my front porch with the forest behind me somehow. I don't have anything to add. I think Ms. Mullen did her usual good job, and there are a few other minor differences, but we don't need to go over those at this point unless the committee wants to. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Stanley and Ms. Mullen. And so I think we're there, right? I mean, we've kind of gone through the both sides of the bill. Senator Rood, how would you like us to proceed? Would you, I was thinking if there's some member questions at this point, and we got our star team. I'm continue to be impressed with both sides of the street here, the Senate team and the House team. We're so lucky as a state to have this talent. So, Senator Rood.
I think we should open up for members' questions while we have everyone here.
Sounds great. Was Senator Weber able to make it? I'd feel bad if I didn't introduce him. I don't see his. Maybe he said he was in another place. I just speak
Mr.
up.
Mr. Chair Lilly.
Yes.
I did see Senator Weber log in at the very, very beginning.
Yes.
Enough, so.
Right. Okay. I just didn't want to miss the introduction. So let's proceed to some member questions. I see one hand up, Representative Green.
Thank you, Chair Lillian. I hopefully won't be causing too much problems here with my remote status. I've got to
sound clear. So
okay,
sounds good.
I was trying to listen pretty closely, and I didn't hear on lines 52.21 through 52.24. I think the House has starts a new management area in Dakota County. Was that mentioned? And I thought that was only in the House version.
We have Mr. Hagemeyer. I see you popped up. I don't know if that's something you can help us
with. I don't know. Mr. Chair, Representative Green, there's a number of things in the bill where if it was covered on the spreadsheet, we didn't necessarily go through the change in the side-by-side. So I did mention there was $350,000 appropriation the House had, only the House had. So we didn't necessarily point it out on the side-by-side as well, since it was a fiscal provision. But maybe Ms. Taylor could bring you to it in the document if you want to hear more about it.
I think probably after we do the walkthrough, we'll be going through these one at a time, will we not, Mr. Chair?
Representative Green, we probably won't be today, but we will in a, you know, at a future date, you know, be looking as, you know, as best we can at different items and you know, discussing. If you have a question, we have a few minutes. If you want to, you know, ask now, I think, you know.
I think that, well, basically, I just was going to talk about it and see a little, you know, ask a little more about it and see how the Senate stood on that, on another management area. And then just for the future reference that I probably will be bringing up, too, I think there was another change in, there's two spots in here, one where the Arts Board is going to either develop or approve age-appropriate materials, as well as the Historical Society will, too. I kind of have a problem with those, and I'd like to discuss those at a, you know, in one of our future meetings. And then there was a few other small details, but I just wanted to make sure we'll be able to have a chance to hit on some of the other issues that are in here, that some on the differences that are between the two bills, and then also some that are the same, if we'll have a chance to discuss those in the future committees.
Thank you, Representative Green. I think at this point we're just kind of it's mostly at a higher level, and then I think we have other opportunities to ask questions, and I guess my pledge was to kind of do that, and I would feel bad because that wasn't the agreement I had made with Senator Rood to dig, you know, too deep today. So I just
No, that's fine, Mr. Chair. I mean, excuse me, I'm out of place here, but I just wanted to make sure that we were going to have a chance. This is my first conference committee. You know, I've sat in on a few, but sometimes these things go fast and sometimes they don't. And so I just wanted to make sure that in the future we'll get a chance to go through the bill a little bit more in detail.
Well, thank you, Representative Green. And I'm hoping we can go fairly fast. We'll see, though. Right, Senator Rood? Anyways, any other member questions at this Senator Herr? I saw your hand up earlier, and then it went down, so I don't know if you changed your mind or.
Yeah, I can certainly ask some questions. I appreciate being conferring with all of you, and I know this. I'll stay with the Senate position, but before we came to the Senate. Bills, the bills that are part of this conference evaluation right now. I have been fighting for, you know, ethnic identity project, the cultural identity project to be listed. So like what you have in the House. But my question is that there's one agency, the Lao Assistance Center, which will work with Karen and Lao and Thai community. You know, it's not part of the listing and identify in the House language. So I just want to bring that forth, and I want to advocate for them as well if I have the opportunity. So thank you for this time and the moment, and I may have questions later as well.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much for, we did name some specific groups, and I know you had a great hearing in the Senate on some different cultural groups, and I heard it was a great success. There's opportunities for other groups within different categories to have access to funds, but if we do get to naming, maybe that's one we could add in, or depending on how chair feels or not feels, but how we can go forward on this.
So. Well, Senator Lilly, Representative Lilly, Chair Lilly, I guess I do have a question on that. So as I look at this,
yes,
you have in the Community Identity and Heritage Grants, you have specifically named six different groups, and you have spent all of the money. So that means that no other group in the state of Minnesota is available for this money, but these groups that you have carved out for. So unless you're of this heritage, you can't apply. Am I understanding that correctly? That only these groups that you've named can use the cultural heritage money. Is that how this reads?
Thank you. Senator Root, I appreciate the question. We put a lot of thought and effort into the House position, and yes, we do have five categories of groups that make a lot of sense to better serve Minnesota. But we also added in there's a sixth group. So at the bottom, there is a category where all groups could have access to the cultural heritage to the funds. So there's a
How do you qualify
to be 1.2 million?
How do you qualify to be an underrepresented community? I mean, is there a guideline? Do you have wording for that? I'm just afraid that you've left out a whole lot of Minnesota in this when you spend all the money for specific groups. I find that very interesting that no one else can be included. So. Just a thought.
Yep. Thank you, Chair Root. And our intent was, to add many other groups can have access to funds throughout, throughout all the funds, as you well know. And then this is an additional swing of bat where groups that haven't had opportunities can have access. And I really want to say I appreciate you increasing your fund amount. To start off in that area, last session we had $1.7 million, and I noticed yours is at four. We're at seven and some number. I'm sorry, I can't remember off my head what it is, seven and a half or whatever. But our intent is that, like in that group, especially in the others, that the humanities would continue to be of great service to us.
Well, and I think we've seen that the humanities have said that they had less than $4 million worth of asks in this program. So I think that's we're going to have some work there because you've really limited access to a wide group of Minnesotans and added a whole bunch of money. So I think that's a conversation we'll have to have.
Thank you, Chair Root. I'm very happy to have more groups in. I don't know why it's... Representative
Mr. Chair, if I may, to answer Senator Root, the reality is that you are right. Many Minnesotans have been left out, and that's why we're doing this direct appropriation, to ensure that organizations like these that we've named do get a piece of the pie, get their fair share, because these organizations have came to us before and have struggled to even get some fundings. And to Senator from her, if you will answer my phone calls when I call you, you will understand that the reason why the Karen and Alau were left out is because we have money set aside for them. They have not been here before, and we're trying to get them some funding so that next time when they come again, we can name them like the Hmong Cultural Center. So if you pick up my phone call next time, you will know about this, Senator Fung-Hur.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. So anyways, I don't know if Senator Herr wants to respond. He was named out.
I'm fine.
I want to have a lot of back and forth that way.
Mr. Chair, maybe they can take it offline. It's kind of inappropriate for this committee, so it'd be very nice if they – I don't mean to overstep my bounds, Mr. Chair, but I think that's something that could be taken offline.
I would agree, Senator Rudin. We can definitely – you know, it's a very passionate issue, and actually we're excited, and I'm happy to work with you, and we can come up with a great solution for Minnesota, I'm certain.
Sure.
Any other,
Mr. Chair, if I may add some information.
Senator Herr.
We do have inequity in our state, and these organizations are struggling. You know, are part of the equity community with disparities, and in our state we have 20% of minorities in our state, and those that came to apply are. Came to request actually below that number. If you add the total percentage of project that we put appropriate here, and I'm with you, Senator Lilly and Representative Zhang as well. With the total amount, if you just add it, it's just only amount to 4% of the total arts and culture budget. So I like to make that known that we have not, have the community that are in despair, have not had the chance to ask for the amount that should be rational, ration to them. So I just want to make that point out there. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any other member questions? And otherwise, I'll kind of give a final comment to Senator Rudin and ourselves, and then we'll be working together in the future, all of us. So, Senator Rudin.
Well, thank you, Chair Lilly. It's been a great first conference committee, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you, Senator Rudin. And, I'm excited to work on this, and I'm certain that we can have a great bill going forward. Our partners have been really solid as far as doing good work all over Minnesota, and we've heard, as you are hearing today, we've had some, a testimony in the House about some equity issues, and so we're working through that and on it. It's a great opportunity, but a lot of the groups that have traditionally gotten money have been really good stewards in these areas. If you look at the arts grants, there's a lot of great grants going out, but they have missed, possibly missed some things. But anyways, I don't want to get speechified. That's enough of that for today. But thank you, Senator Rudin, and your team, and certainly to our staff, thank you for going through it. And I know you're available for member questions. Representative Green had some questions, and please on both sides of the, in the Senate and the House, if you're available to help out, I sure appreciate that. So, with that, that's it for us today. The gavel will be with Senator Rudin, and she'll be in charge, and we trust her leadership. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for your commitment to making a better Minnesota here with the legacy bill. Thank you.